What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Dave Harrigan, here's how I remember it. Dean Phillips told us no matter where he is on the planet, he would appear with us at the State Fair, and no matter where Woody Harrelson was on the planet, that Dean would bring Woody to the fair. Is that your recollection also?
That's right. Dean said he's got access to one of those Concorde jets. He would hop in it wherever he was at the time, find Woody, wherever Woody is. He's got an air tag on Woody at all times.
Maybe.
So he knows, boom, right where he is. Bring him to the fair.
Potentially helicopter over the WCCO radio booth.
Yeah, they'd probably land in St. Paul, hop in the chopper, and then perhaps land on the awning.
Right.
Drop right down.
Right. What day is that going to happen with the fair starting for us this Friday, sir?
You must be speaking. I must be facing some early onset memory challenge after my political career, Chad. You might have to play the tape from our last.
Oh, we could. There's AI out there.
I do recall. I really do. I recall a very subtle but important disclaimer at the very end of my statement, saying something to the extent that I'll do my best, or some political, animal statement like that.
Yeah, that sounds like a relationship situation. Honey, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to golf that second round. I didn't mean to stay out until 2 a.m. with the boys. Dave, does that work with you?
Yeah, I'll do my best.
I'll do my best. I mean, this is a results show.
Chad, the world's smallest violin is playing my heart.
All right, we may get to a little more nonsense also in segment number two, but let's get to the very seriousness of what is taking place right now with the president and President Zelensky. They met the media for about 30 minutes. It was typical Trump. It was on the matter hand, but it was also on mail-in ballots, on election 2020, on D.C. It was all over the place, but this is all tied to the war between Russia and Ukraine, obviously all tied to one country invaded the other, one country led by a KGB thug. This, again, is the first time Trump and Zelensky have been in the Oval Office together since months ago when it was a warring situation, ugly situation between the two. A lot of lecturing from Team Trump towards Zelensky. This is in light of the president meeting Vladimir Putin. A lead up to that where the president repeatedly said if there was not immediate ceasefire, that first of all, he would know within a couple of minutes if they were going to have success. And if not, there would be severe consequences. There have been no severe consequences. Russia continues to fire weapons, and they've killed at least double figures in the last 24 hours in Ukraine. So now you have this meeting, prominent European leaders also in D.C. So to a former congressman who has observed this and still cares for this country, do you believe, if necessary, that President Trump will stand up to Vladimir Putin, and if severe consequences are necessary, will he apply those to Russia? Because to me, as an observer, I haven't seen it once, and I think it's highly, highly unlikely again.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chad, that's the question on everybody's mind. I think it's fair to say that any world leader, government official that has dealt with Vladimir Putin over the years would say the same thing. He's not an honest broker. He's a thug. His worldview is antithetical to most of the West. He feels that the end of the USSR, the Soviet Union, was a historic tragedy for the Russian nation, and I think still regrets the fact that one of the former czars sold Alaska to the United States for $7 million. These are all truths. With all that said, I don't think we can discount President Trump's passion for peace. He made a promise to his base. He made a promise to this country and the world that he would effect it. The one thing I celebrate, and it's, I know I'm an outlier amongst Democrats, is face-to-face meetings are never bad, if you ask me. America does not get to choose the leaders of other countries. We don't get to choose the system of governance. And if we believe that simply ignorance can be bliss when it comes to world peace, I think we're on the wrong side of history. So I do believe these meetings are important. I do believe that we have to better understand the fact that for Russia, having NATO at its doorstep is a real threat. And not unlike if Russia had a security compact with Canada or Mexico. And rest assured to everybody listening, if that was the case, how do you think the United States of America would handle Russia at its doorstep? We remember the Bay of Pigs and so forth. So with all that said, we're not dealing with an honest broker. I do think to end this conflict, it will take some land swap. And the fact that Putin has signaled that he would be willing to accept a security arrangement, a distinct security arrangement between the United States and Ukraine, is a pretty massive concession for a country and leader that have heretofore resisted even taking that important step. So conversation is good. Russia is suffering. Their erosion of relationship with China is real. And I do think Putin, while he looked pretty darn good the other day on the American stage, is in a position where he also wants peace. So this is going to be a tough pill, though, for Zelensky to swallow, because he's been at this for years. He can't see the forest for the trees. And it's going to be sad and challenging for Ukraine to cede land. Last comment on this, Chad, is that this all really started, sadly, when Russia invaded and took Crimea during the Obama administration.
Yep.
America had an opportunity at that very time, at that very time, to stand up, and we didn't. And as a result, we gave Vladimir Putin essentially free rein to continue this path. And I do think Donald Trump ultimately will stop it. I just hope it's under terms that are both reasonable, principled, and maintain the security of both Europe and the United States.
Okay, I'm glad you brought that up, and I want to echo what you're saying. I believe Donald Trump getting involved at a much more serious level compared to Joe Biden, I believe he deserves praise, without a doubt, right? Whether it's for personal reasons, global reasons, decency reasons, whatever, I give him credit. For the Trump folks who heard that last part and are saying, that's it. What can the Obama folks say about that particular time if a lot of us raise this idea of what does Putin potentially have on Trump? What happened in the back of the limousine? Why the bizarre comments in Helsinki? Here's Barack Obama in 2014 off his second election, a fairly popular man. And this takes place, and there's outrage, there's condemnation, but the action that a lot of people are calling for now who are Democrats about Trump and greater sanctions, what really changed at that particular time when their guy was living, sleeping, and working at the White House?
That's a it's a profound question. And by the way, Democrats are in an interesting position now as a party that, of course, is, with the Republicans, anti-war, pro-sanctions. Sanctions, by the way, Chad, have not worked. That's why we're approaching India right now. They're buying all the Russian oil that's financing this this madness. As for these relationships, you know, only Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin know what they have on one another. Many of us suspected in Congress that some financial arrangement may have been offered to Donald Trump should he satisfy Putin's terms. And God knows, it, billions of dollars to Vladimir Putin are pennies in most people's couches. And I think there's a real chance that there is some arrangement. And that is profoundly frightening and despicable if it's the case. But the proof will be in the pudding, Chad. At the end of the day, if the bloodshed ends and there are security guarantees for Ukraine, for Europe, and frankly for Russia, the outcome will be promising. And I'll just close with the fact that none other than Hillary Clinton, I think a couple days ago, said that she would personally nominate Donald Trump for the Nobel Prize if he could secure a ceasefire and peace. So with that said, I think that's all listeners need to know. He's got a chance, and I hope he seizes the moment.
This is former Congressman Dean Phillips, freaking guest of the show. We're going to put Dean on hold, come back, talk about some local issues and some issues unrelated to politics. Dean joins us on a regular basis, and we're lucky enough to have him on the show. I want to talk about Pella, and I'm lucky enough to live in a house with Pella windows and doors. This is a company this entire year celebrating not 20 years in business, not five, 100 years in business. How can you find out if your windows are up to speed? Because let's be honest, 99.9% of the time, we're just assuming the windows are working unless there's something that is blatantly obvious to us. Well, you could go to PellaNorthland.com, set up a free visit with the folks from Pella, and they'll come at your place. They'll evaluate your windows. It's not going to be one of these phony meetings where they're going to tell you, yeah, pretty much every window is not working. They'll be honest. If plenty of windows are working fine, they'll say you're good. They'll give you some options. They'll want to know what style you're looking at. They'll want to know your budget. And are you looking for something that's subtle, or you really want to transform a certain room like I did at my previous house? When I moved, I made sure Pella windows and doors would be a part of it, and it's only enhanced my living experience. There is a showroom in Woodbury. There is a showroom in Plymouth. Again, it's PellaNorthland.com. And in the month of August, we'll get to a September deal in a little bit. In fact, we found out the September deal the other day. We'll tell you about that in September. It's good. This one is phenomenal. 72 months, 0% APR when you work with Pella, or 20% off your Pella project. This is a no-brainer. Have them at your place. Find out info, PellaNorthland.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
We return with Dean Phillips, the former congressman. We have not chatted since the news broke. Mary Moriarty, in a Star Tribune story, told them she's not going to run for re-election. She doesn't want to divide her time between her job and running for office. I'm a little dubious, to say the least, of that answer. I think she believes she's doing the right thing. I think she's convinced she's doing the right thing, but she also knows that that 16-point win from a few years ago, which was a decisive victory, would not take place. There's been a great deal of criticism against a number of decisions that she offered up. As a man who's lived in this county for a lot of your life, are you glad that Mary Moriarty is not running for re-election?
Yes, to be succinct, I endorsed her opponent in the last election, Chad. Took a lot of heat for it, as you can imagine. Many in the DFL thought I should be excommunicated then because I had a different perspective. And I have to say that I'm conflicted, and I'm sure many listening are, because there's no question that many of our public policy failures have created multi-generational issues of crime, especially in communities that have been disadvantaged, I think, for decades in America. And I think her heart has always been in the right place. But I just remind people, this is not about the heart. This is about following the law and the head. And this is about our punitive strategy as it relates to crime. And we have a lot of district attorneys around the country, public defenders, that I think have their hearts in the right place, but they're supposed to be prosecuting criminals to keep us all safe. And it's up to legislators to pass laws to improve dynamics, raise the foundation, education, healthcare, housing, and safety and security. So at the end of the day, we need people in these positions that do their jobs. I do not think she was doing her job in the way that the Twin Cities needs. The same way that San Francisco removed their attorney, and they've seen an improvement. Los Angeles did the same. The leftward lurch in assigning policymakers, if you will, to executive roles is not what the founders intended. And I do think that that is where we find ourselves. And I see that Ryan Winkler might run. I think Cedric Frazier is a good man. I'd like to understand better their approach to the job. But at the end of the day, I encourage people to vote for someone who will do the job and try to keep us safe while being mindful of the disadvantages that so many in our community face. And we should mobilize around reducing crime when we really can, which is by diversion programs at young ages.
1 week from today, we're at the fair, and Governor Walz will join us. And I certainly will ask him the questions that a lot of people want to know on a variety of topics, including his upcoming decision on running for reelection. I, like most people, have felt most of this year it was a done deal. But there has been a lot of good reporting that the entire state obviously is still reeling from what happened, the frightening events, disgusting events, grotesque events of June 14th and the murder of Mark and Melissa Hortman, and that the governor may not run for reelection. That a lot of people who were convinced he was going to are not as convinced right now. You've said for a while a couple things. One, you thought it was time for someone else to be governor of the state, and you also said this wasn't your time, that you didn't plan on running. If the governor, because of the Hortman murders or some other reason, does not run, and this becomes a wide open race with no favorite on either side, would this cause you to change your mind and to run for the governor's position next year?
Well, Chad, all I can say is that I'm consistent and that I think Mr. Walz should wrap up his tenure in the governor's office after 8 years. I don't think 12 years is appropriate, healthy, or reasonable. I'd like to see fresh ideas, perspectives, and a new administration. I also want to see a leader that has a commitment to developing the economy of Minnesota. We are rapidly falling behind, resting on our laurels, with also a kind heart and a bright eye towards improving policy to promote innovation and conservation and make Minnesota among the most wonderful states in the country. And with all that said, I don't intend to run. I have no intention, nor did I have an intention watching the election in 2016, waking up the next morning and realizing there are times where you got to stand up. And I will, like most Minnesotans, assess the candidates that do throw their hat in the ring, and based on that, make a decision. I have no intention. I don't expect to. I do think that there will be candidates, hopefully on both sides of the aisle, that are competent, reasonable, compassionate, and have, most importantly, have some executive experience before taking this very important role. So, and I encourage listeners and friends and family and associates to make the same consideration, whether it's for school board or city council or state legislature. You know, if we're going to cede governance to the far right and far left, we all lose. And that's how I'll be assessing this campaign and others. And like I said, I hope Mr. Walz pursues something new after his term concludes after 8 years.
So there is a sliver of an opening there, not a large one, but a sliver. So let's say, you know, it's 4 or 5 months from now, and whether the governor's in or other candidates are in, and you assess that and say, I should run. You are speaking often in these conversations about the need for another party. Would you run if you ran as an independent, as opposed to the party you've been in for most of your adult life as a Democrat?
That's a tough question because I, like many, am struggling with political identity and affiliation, as a lot of my Republican friends have been for some years. I do think it's important that we have competition. I think it's absurd that the Democratic Party in Minnesota is called the Democratic Farmer Labor Party, and Democrats typically don't represent farmers or laborers anymore. Many have now migrated to Donald Trump and Republicans. So with that said, I think, you know, if I can leave any legacy, Chad, I think it will be relative to creating competition for both parties. I don't think they should have a monopoly. They've set the rules to make competition very difficult. And as I reflect on what I've done and what I still, God willing, have some time to do, it's going to be more relative to providing opportunity to others, the best and brightest, to run. And I think that's going to require a new platform, because I don't see the best and brightest standing up to run as Democrats or Republicans any longer. So that's probably the best way to wrap this in a bow. I do believe in independence, but I also believe a party has to stand for something. It can't just stand for not being a Republican or Democrat. We need common sense, competency, and experienced people to serve the broad swath of most Americans with who want reasonable taxes used well, efficiently, and government to focus on the handful of things that it should be doing. Leave the rest to the private sector with accountability. That's how I feel. That used to be a way that Democrats looked at public policy, and I think it's time that somebody in unison around the country starts spearheading an alternative, and I do intend to play some role in that.
As always, thanks so much. Enjoy the day, and we'll talk very soon. Thank you.
All right, and make sure to play that tape so all your listeners know that I did wiggle out of that appearance promise, just so you know.
Yeah, now daring us with AI to play the tape. We might play that tape. We might play that tape.
By the way, you might remember, history will forget me, but they might remember that my campaign was the first one that was subject to an AI issue. If you
That's
remember,
right.
In New Hampshire, someone created a call, and they created a Dean bot that answered questions of people in my own team.
I forgot.
Said they thought the Dean bot was a more proficient candidate than real Dean. So I'll leave it at that.
Thank you. Dean Phillips, right here on CCO. Overrated, underrated, properly rated, next. Should I talk Amber Scholl and not try to die during this version of the spot? Yeah, a little coffee last time. It's part of this studio. So we'll separate that and talk about Amber Scholl. Okay, Amber is with American Family. American Family is a highly successful insurance company with tens and tens of millions of customers. But ideally, you still want an office where, okay, I got to talk about this rate. I got to talk about something that happened to the car. I got to talk about, I'm not happy about the costs. Or, wait, I upped my alarm system, or I did something different. Or let me check on the cost. Have a person, have someone to talk to at teamscholl.com. You have that office right here in the metro area. You get so many numbers. I just would rather give you the website. TeamScholl.com. That's SCHOLL.com. Amber's there. Her team is there. They will help you out with the day-to-day. They'll help you out with the emergency and even help you out. Okay, I don't have American Family. I'm with fill in the blank, but I hear this goofball talking about it. Let's see if I can save money. I bet you can. And even if you don't, you've learned a lot more about your own insurance. So what are you waiting for? Right now, TeamScholl.com.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.